This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
There's a high drive to center field. This one's crushed back by the flagpole and into the hitter's backdrop. A long home run. Alex Bregman, 4-1 Houston. Alex Bregman with his 16th homer. That almost hit the back wall in center.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson. It's a 5 o'clock hour. We've been talking most of the day about Alex Bregman. We're all excited. Lou Maloney joined us. He's excited. Heck, I'm sure Razor was excited about Bregman joining the Red Sox. Everybody's excited in a little bit.
Except for you.
We're not there quite yet. But at 5:30, we'll talk to Sean Pendergast, your former co-host down in Houston, who knows Alex Bregman and the good things he brings to the table.
He's been covering Houston sports for a very long time, and he'll have a lot of good insights on our new second, third baseman. I don't know.
Our new leader.
Our new leader.
An offensive stalwart, we hope, who could hit 20-plus home runs. But I just want to point something out. Fitzy knows this. He gets annoyed by this. I like to be objective. I like to paint the whole picture. I don't like to get caught up just too much in the whole groundswell of positivity if there's some issues you need to bring up. And I've actually hired somebody, Fitzy. I'm not sure if you're aware of this.
You've actually gone company funds or OOP, out of pocket?
Out of pocket. Personal funds. I hired a voice guy who's going to help me at least get started here with figuring out which game it was last year that Alex Bregman hit his first home run. So let's see how he's doing with the counting.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
nope, we're not
9,
there.
10, 11, 12,
all right,
13.
Thanks, Mike. Mike, you go about your business. Keep doing it in the background. We don't have time. You had time on your
15,
show.
15, 16,
okay, yep, no,
nope,
thank you. You
wait,
had time
you're
on your
using
show?
AI Francesa?
18, 19,
nope.
20.
That's not
nope,
AI, brother.
That's real Mike Francesa on a real live radio program counting bowl games in college football. But now we're using him to count. How you doing there, Mike?
21, 22, 23, 24, 25.
Oh, he's close. What was the next number, Mike?
26, 27, 28.
The 26th game of the season last year is when Alex Bregman hit his first home run. Yeah. You know when he hit his second?
When's that?
38th game. No need, Mike. You take the rest. Nope, Mike. Okay. Take the rest of the day off.
29,
no, I don't have any
30,
more money, Mike. Stop.
31, 32.
38th game of the season, he hit his second home run.
33,
okay,
34.
Mike. Now you're being annoying, Mike.
We get the point.
I'm just saying it's a little bit concerning that a guy you just handed $40 million to for this season. Well, technically, he's got to wait a while to get $10 million of it. $30 million this season. Whatever. Took
Everyone's deferred these days.
Yeah, I know it is. I don't care for it. There's a part of me that hopes, Fitzy, Ted, we're still in these chairs doing this job in 5 years, 10 years. I'm not sure I'm going to totally understand when we're like, yeah, Bregman retired 5 years ago, but they owe him $30 million. Wait, what's that now? And then you should see the Dodgers. They are paying Ohtani through the nose, and like he hasn't played in a while. I'm not sure I have the mathematical makeup to come to grips with all that. Anyway, I do have the mathematical makeup to come to grips with the zeros in the home run column for the first 25 games.
Yeah.
Of the year. Do you guys, and I'm being honest here, I'm excited. I've said that. I led with the excitement. I led with the positivity. I led with he makes the lineup better. Is there any trepidation when you see something like that? 26 games. That's almost a, what's that, a fifth of the NFL season? I mean, the MLB season, sixth of the MLB season. Does that, any concerns there from either of you?
Fitzy?
No, not when I look at the Fenway numbers. Ted, you've seen the splits, right? You've seen how his OPS at Fenway is?
Oh, yeah. Well, pretty impressive.
So those 21 games outweigh the 26 where he hit nothing.
I want to interject real quick. One thing before you go, Fitzy, is remember when we had my boy John McClain on?
Selective fandom. Yes, sir. I do.
My John McClain on a couple weeks ago. One of the first things he said when I asked him about Alex Bregman was, everybody knows he gets off to slow starts.
That's bad.
Kind of what he does.
That's bad. When you make $40 million and you are the reason on February 13th that 75% of Red Sox fans believe the team is a playoff team, something it hasn't been in recent years. It's been a last place team. It's been a fraudulent contending playoff team. 75% of Red Sox fans now believe you're a contender. You're going to be at least in the playoffs, maybe fight for a division. And part of the reason of that is the $40 million second baseman you just signed. And you tell me he gets off to slow starts. You know where the worst place to get off to a slow start is? In your new place, where you're trying to prove to people you're a leader, you're a core guy, you're a centerpiece guy, right? In the old place, they might go, I've seen this a lot. This is what he does every year. We know by the back end of this. We don't know that here. We don't know that. We haven't lived that. We haven't felt that. So I'm not trying to be the wet blanket on the fun day.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Are facts wet blankets?
Yep. Oftentimes, that's why I avoid them whenever possible.
The assumption that he is going to do the same thing at the start of this year, I think, is a little, questionable.
Well, in your world, remember the old likely to be earned incentives? It's likely to be earned that he'll go 25 games without hitting a home run because he did it last year. In the NFL world, they used to do it that way. If you did it the year before, that's what they based it on.
Different ballpark. He's never, he hasn't played in his ballpark full time like he's about to.
Right.
So that could change. Just a new scenery, new coach, new everything. Maybe he's worked on his swing. Maybe it's a little different swing. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe
that lineup around him, Ted.
Yeah.
Okay, the flip side, so you said it right. The flip side is, the good news is it took him forever to hit home runs.
Yeah.
The bad news is he got hot and he hit 25 over the final 90 games of the season. Yeah. If that guy shows up and if that guy can get hot earlier in the season, I think you can say, okay, he fixed his swing, he got through something, he figured something out, he's in a new ballpark, Fitzy, that he likes even more, maybe that adds 5 or 10%, he's feeling good. If that guy shows up, okay, that's great, because now I got a guy that's going to hit high 30s for home runs, 40 home runs. Who knows where it could go? So, and we're all using numbers. We're all using past performances. What's that line they tell you in investments?
Performance does not always indicate future success. Not always an indicator of future success.
It is the indicator, yes. Best predictor of the future is what happened in the past, yeah.
Oh, so you're on my side. You believe he'll go
25
games.
That's the saying. You asked what the saying was.
Oh, okay.
And I was just telling you what the saying was. And I was saying I agree with you.
Is it
a reason to be concerned? Absolutely. I told you, his first 30 at-bats in Major League Baseball, when he first got to the Astros, he didn't have a hit. His first 30 at-bats.
I was just counting home runs. Now you're telling me he goes 30 at-bats without hits.
But that was 2016. That was a long time ago. I get your concern, maybe a slow start, especially in this town. People get on him, blah, 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 blah. So that is definitely a concern.
Dan Ball.
But it's not going to keep me up at night.
So this is a trend that's gone for his career. I think you alluded to that before, Andy, but he's a .248 hitter in March and April overall, which is a career low. In the second half of seasons, however, .291. So I can deal with a slow start if it's going to look like that as the game starts to move. So,
in the words of one great Marty Schottenheimer, he one time told me when we met, he says, Ted, it's not where you start. It's where you finish, son. Thank you very much, and good luck to you.
And that guy never won a
Marty.
Super Bowl.
I know, and I was like, eh.
He never finished the season with a win. Yeah,
that guy was famous for going 14-2 and then crapping the bed.
Fired, yeah.
That's who we're quoting here?
He was, at one time, a reputable coach.
Just, Dan Ball, just to follow up on your, as long as the second half is good.
Yeah.
So does he not collect the $40 million paychecks in the first half of the season?
Sure he does, but he collects it for a 162-game sample size.
Okay.
Of which he plays a lot. He's on the field, plays good defense, and he's usually a pretty good hitter for a full season.
Hits .242, but he's a great leader. His glove is awesome.
Is he a $40 million leader?
You know what? No, but you know what? You have to overpay if you're the Red Sox at this point.
Suck tax, as Kern calls it.
That's the suck tax.
The Sox had to pay a desperation tax, a suck tax, and a need tax, Andy. Yep. Three different taxes. It's a lot of tariffs.
Why do we care about the money? Like, seriously. Like, why all of a sudden are we like, okay.
You know it's how it works. Money creates expectations.
That's good. I want that to be, but you know, who cares about the money? They needed to spend money. They finally spent money. To me, the $40 million is... Please, whatever. It's not your money. It's Monopoly money. Just, did you get the guy? Yes. Let's go. Get the horn. Get the
Ted wants the Homer horn.
Let's honk the horn, man. What are we doing here? I don't know. If you got any problem with this deal today, I don't know what to do with you, man.
I don't have a problem with the deal today.
You got to be a miserable person if you're waking up today calling the Red Sox out for this deal.
I'm not calling them out.
I've heard a lot of people say, you can only get a 3-year deal. Dude, it's two opt-outs, but it's at $40 million. He's not going to opt out. He's not going to probably get $40 million anywhere else when he's the age of 33, which he'll be for 3 years from now. He's not going anywhere for 3 years. He's staying right here.
My favorite part of the deal is that it's a 3-year deal. I wanted no part. Those reports that he wanted a 7-year, $210 million deal?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No. Yeah.
Don't you think the Red Sox would be more amenable to doing deals like this if they were in that 3 to 4 year range and they would overpay if you got shorter deals?
Everybody except players.
What everyone wants. Yeah.
Well, no. Players don't. Players want 10 years
and
$400 million.
Agents.
And Scott Boras is the world. But absolutely. I've said that forever because it mitigates risk. You can kind of swallow that big chunk of, oh my God, this sucks for a year or whatever. But you don't look down the road and say, wow, we're stuck with this deal for 5 years, for 6 years, for 7 years. But yeah, Fitzy, I think players smartly say, no, that guy got 8 years, that guy got 10. That's what I want. And that's sort of the standard.
Opt-outs are great too. And Ted, like with a guy like, I looked at the Juan Soto deal, and when everyone else was saying, like, this could go to 12 years, 14 years, it ends up at 15 years. I would have said, instead of 15 years at, you know, $48 million a year, how about this? I'll do an Ohtani style deal. I'll give you 10 and 70. I'll overpay per year, but I'd rather have you for 10 years knowing I overpaid but got the best year, as opposed to seeing the husk of your performance sitting on the bench.
I agree with you. I don't want this long deal to, you know, in year 7, 8, 9, 10 of this deal to be the albatross around the team's neck. Why you can't do more to improve the team at that point.
Unless you're the player. The player looks out for himself, and he has leverage, especially in baseball, as much as anything else. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to John in the car. John, what are your thoughts on the Bregman signing?
It's obviously a really big move. I think it's going to go up there in the Red Sox annals, along with great names like Carl Crawford and David Price and Adrian Gonzalez.
What about John Lackey? You forgot him, too.
Why so negative?
Go ahead, John.
Well, isn't he 7 years off his best statistical year, and isn't he on the wrong side of 30, and aren't we paying him like basically Aaron Judge money for a third of Aaron Judge's production, and aren't we going to play him at a position he doesn't normally play, and none of this seems to, like, how is this not a big problem for everybody? He hit 26 home runs last year. He's not saving this franchise.
Let me ask you this, John. Did you have a better?
You got him.
What have wanted the Red Sox to do at this point? What would you like them to have done? John, are you there?
I don't know if doing the move because you don't have any other moves to do is the best move. I'm just saying. I think this is one of the most overhyped things I've ever heard. I think it's going to end up being really minimal difference one way or the other.
All right, thanks for the call, John. And that's fair. I mean, some of the arguments he made, his best year came in 2019. If you want to use war, he was the runner-up to the MVP that year. He led the league in walks. He hit 41 home runs, 112 RBI. He had a great year.
Yeah.
That was his best year. That's just the reality, and that was 2019. That was a while ago, and there may have been some extenuating circumstances involved with that success at that time for that team in that place. I'm not as negative as John. I think John has reason. There is a little bit of me that compares this to Trevor Story. I was never in love with Trevor Story. And John Henry back then got excited. You don't consider Trevor Story a huge contract or something when he signed $120 million over 6 years. And I didn't. It was like, he's a good hitter
in Coors Field.
Right. And
his
splits
were terrible.
This guy's a good hitter in Houston, especially 6 years ago. So there are some comparisons there. This is not, it was funny because he went down that road. He set us up. This is going to go down in Red Sox lore. Yeah, like, and it was like, is he going to say Manny Ramirez? Going to say, he's going to list some of the guys that didn't really pan out and live up to the investment. And I think it's fair to question some of those things.
I agree. And I'm just going to tell you, John, who just called, part of my, if I'm a little bit overjoyed, like maybe Fitzy is a little bit today, part of it, and I want to speak for you, Fitzy, is because the Red Sox made a deal that was, you hadn't seen them make in a long time. And I think I'm just like, okay, they still care about their team. They still care about their fans. I mean, partly, this might just be a reaction to the fan pressure, but good. You know, give us what we want, damn it. And I think part of my excitement is baked into that.
First time, I believe, on the new WEEI Afternoons, Fitzy, we go to Allison in Cambridge. Bring the passion, Allison. What do you think of the Bregman?
Hey, guys. Good evening to all of you. Ted, it's really nice having you here.
Thank you.
I loved you as a player, and I'm very happy.
Thank you.
About that.
Appreciate that.
I'm psyched about it. And one thing that's really, I mean, the fact Alex Cora really wanted it. I mean, I had said that after we didn't keep Xander, I mean, that Alex Cora was the star of the team and the soul of the team. And if he wants Alex Cora, I really trust that. The one reason I would have preferred Nolan Arenado, is that how his name is pronounced?
Yep.
The one reason I would have preferred that is he has to play third, and it would have forced them to get rid of Yoshida. Yoshida was like the worst decision that Chaim Bloom ever made. I mean, that was a decision that he purely did on his own. He wasn't betting against anybody. Everyone thought it was ridiculous, and it was. And he's clogging at the DH spot. And we're knowing Arenado, because then Rafi would move to the DH, and then you have your third baseman. But I think nobody, Lou Maloney, nobody mentioned with him at the DH, and nobody mentioned Yoshida. And so with one thing I didn't know when I brought this up the other day with Rod Bradford show on the weekend, that day after I was off the air, said that you can't do anything to Yoshida because Yoshida's injured. And I had never heard that before. And so I don't know what's up with that. But we can't have him there. I mean, you can't have somebody who's not a power hitter being the DH spot. And it sounds like he's terrible. And I feel like we need great defense for our great pitching. So anyhow, we'll see how it happens. I kind of feel like the game is afoot. And I'm really feeling like we're starting to move forward again.
All right, thanks for the call, Allison. I appreciate it. And I do feel like that is a good way to put it. You're moving forward again.
Yep.
And I'm not sure that they're done. I'm not sure that you're stuck with this specific lineup. And I know nothing. I'm just saying it doesn't feel like this is the last shoe to drop on their offseason. I feel like there could be another move or something to go here. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Kelly in Amherst. Kelly, what are your thoughts on the Bregman deal?
Yeah, so I just wanted to call in response to the call before Allison, the dude that was, it was very funny, he set me up too. But yo, that's some revisionist history trying to say that Gonzo was bad. Adrian Gonzalez was tearing the cover off the ball. Like, yeah, Carl Crawford, for whatever reason, the wheels fell off. He was good before we got him, and all of a sudden he sucked when he got here. That was a bad signing, I guess. But Gonzo was great. Next you're going to tell me Cespedes was a bum too? Like, come on. Gonzo was great. That's all I got.
All right, thanks for the call,
well,
Kelly.
He was great, but remember, Andy, he had to go to get rid of Crawford. You had to get rid of Gonzalez. And I think fans and organization alike soured on him.
He wasn't an East Coast guy, yeah. He was. Right. He didn't like it here. Right. He wanted to get back West Coast, and
And he also complained about like ESPN making them play doubleheaders when they had to switch the schedule up a little bit. And
he was soft. He was Gerard Mayo soft. Yeah.
S-A-W-F-T.
But don't you think there's some of that money baked into this deal, too? Is that I feel like if you're the Red Sox, you're confident Alex can handle the pressure of playing in Boston?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the way you people
and I mean you, not the you people out there. The way you people, Alex Gore, Ted Johnson, I'm assuming your boy Sean Pendergast when he joins us at 5:30. The way you people talk about the person, the leader, the competitor, I'll be stunned if he doesn't fit in Fenway and enjoy Fenway, especially this Fenway, this energy that we feel like is returning to Fenway, that it is a baseball town about to be back here in April and May. Now, we'll see how he deals with some adversity if he gets off to a slow start in a new place and how that plays out. But, yeah, I'll be stunned if the leader and the person doesn't show up here in Boston, because you guys are basically unanimous. Yeah. Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Kevin in the car. I don't think Kevin seems to like this. Kevin, what are your thoughts on the Bregman deal?
Yeah, well, look, why was everybody clamoring for a right-handed bat? Why?
Because they don't have right-handed bats.
Right, and because we got destroyed by lefties, right?
Right.
What did he hit against lefties last year?
Not good. No. He has what they call reverse splits, I think is the term.
Yeah.
Right, so how, it was like 220 or something. So how does that fix the problem?
And look, it's 3 years.
I want to be excited. I love revamping our bullpen. I love adding pieces to the rotation. We did some good things this offseason, but I'm just afraid that they're going to point to this deal and say, well, look, we're spending $40 million a year on Alex Bregman. Isn't everybody happy? I just don't see that it solves the problem that we had, which was we don't hit lefties. And I just feel like it could have been better spent packaged. We should have gone in on Friedman. We should have gone in on Snell. We should have been in on Corbin Burns. It feels like it's not even a Band-Aid. It feels like this is, hey, guys, we just went and found somebody that has a right-handed bat and paid him a ton of money. I don't think it fixes the problem.
All right, thanks for the call, Kevin. There's a little bit of my mentality there, and I kind of agree with him.
Yeah.
There, if you dig deeper, if you stop with your superficial reactionary excitement, oh my God, they signed Bregman, he's going to do this, they signed a guy worth $40 million a year, and dig a little deeper, you're like, oh, that's not perfect. Well, that's not ideal either. Like, but I'm trying not, I feel like we save that till tomorrow. Today's the first day. I feel like the first day is the honeymoon period.
All right.
But Kevin's not wrong. Kevin's not totally wrong, Fitzy.
He's not technically wrong. There are a lot of warts. There are a lot of different things you can pick at. But then at the same time, you can also ask, okay, but then why was Alex Cora, who obviously trusts his gut and his experience just as much as he does his analytics, why was he so hype on him? Why did he want him here so badly? You know, you got to ask yourself, there's always more than just, you know, two sides to the coin.
Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll get a Houston look at Alex Bregman. Why they didn't retain him, why he's gone, why he's here, what he brings to Boston. Sean Pendergast, who does radio down there still and did radio in the past with his buddy Ted Johnson, will join us here on WEEI Afternoons. But up first, we have Dan Ball and What's Trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Wilson Farm. Free agent Alex Bregman has a new home after agreeing to a 3-year, $120 million deal with the Boston Red Sox on Wednesday night. The $40 million annual salary is more than $10 million per year more than other teams were offering. The deal includes two opt-outs and deferred money. Bregman, who will turn 31 on March 30th, finished the season with a .260 batting average, 26 home runs, and 75 runs batted in 145 games last season. That deal comes off on the heels of news that the Padres are in agreement with former Red Sox pitcher Nick Pivetta on a backloaded 4-year, $55 million deal. The Red Sox get a compensation pick in the 2025 draft as part of that contract, which will land at 77th overall. The Celtics won their final game before the All-Star break last night at TD Garden. The final was 116-103. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 32 points. And Bruins captain Brad Marchand scored the second goal in Team Canada's overtime victory over Sweden in the Four Nations faceoff. Tonight, Charlie McAvoy, Jeremy Swayman, and Team USA take on Team Finland. Puck drop is at 8 p.m. And finally, the Patriots are re-signing wide receiver Jaquay Jackson, the undrafted free agent out of Rutgers. Impressed in camp and had a 38-yard touchdown in the preseason before suffering an ankle injury. The team kept him on IR rather than working out an injury settlement last year. Valentine's Day is just around the corner. Wilson Farm in Lexington has beautiful bouquets of red and colored roses, freshly dipped chocolate-covered strawberries, and delicious treats for your sweetie. Don't drop the ball this Valentine's Day. Visit Wilson Farm or wilsonfarm.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart here, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Ted Johnson. Let's take a, let's squeeze a quick phone call in here. The lines have been loaded. Everybody's excited about Bregman. Before we get to Ted's buddy, Sean Pendergast from Houston, let's go to Dan in New York. What are your thoughts on the Bregman addition to the Red Sox, Dan?
Yeah, hey. I would just like to say that, like, Blake Snell for the Dodgers, he had $175 million for 5 years. If you want to get a good player, you're going to have to overpay. That's the way that baseball is working right now. And what happened if they would have got Juan Soto? Everyone would say, yeah, Red Sox are going to get Juan Soto. They're the sweepstakes, whatever. They also would have had to overpay $765 million. So I think that the way it works is that you have to overpay. They did the right thing by overpaying. This is what we've been talking about for 2 years already, that they have to pay free agents, and they should be scared about deals and stuff like that. The only thing I'm concerned about is how it's not long term, and maybe they aren't willing to commit for a long term free agent. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks for the call, Dan. 100% right.
Who has issue with a long term deal with a guy that's 30 years old?
No, I love it. I love it. Yeah. I think that's the best part of it. But Dan's right. You have to overpay in free agency. Whether we're talking earlier about T. Higgins. Well, Justin Jefferson makes 34. You might have to pay him 35. Is he better than Justin Jefferson? No. But he's hitting the free agent market now, and he's going to have suitors, and you have money, and you need him. And if you want him,
You overpaid to get him. Joining us now here on WEEI Afternoons from 610 Sports Radio in Houston, co-host of the Payne and Pendergast Show and former co-host with our guy, Ted Johnson. Right. It is Sean Pendergast. Sean, are you happy to be on the air again with Ted Johnson?
What's up, Sean?
I am. I'm very happy to be on the air with Ted Johnson. It feels a little awkward, you know, like his old family coming in and meeting his new family and stuff like that, you know. And I'm wondering, does Ted still pop some of the same little catchphrases of like, that cake don't bake.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling ball of butcher knives, you know.
Sean, they made note of that early on.
We clip those and save them for future use.
But hey,
Teddy's the best, man. Sean, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Sean, you're the best, bro, and it's good to talk to you. Just so people understand, Sean's been covering sports in Houston for a very, very long time. When did you start down there, Sean?
2007. Yep. 2007. So I've seen many iterations of good and bad Astros baseball.
That's right. And so, look, they're kind of a mixed bag up here, Sean, with the news of Alex Bregman coming on. I'm obviously thrilled. I'm a big fan of the player. I think you are too, but there's apprehension just based on the production in the last few years. But I guess, Sean, I would love to just kind of start this interview off with what kind of guy is Alex Bregman? What kind of player is he? What kind of player and guy can the Red Sox fans expect from Alex Bregman?
Yeah, Bregman is a really interesting player because obviously his free agency journey was a topic all season long here in Houston. You know, are you going to extend him? Is he going to stay? So we were talking about it as backdrop to the actual baseball season all year. And my feeling on Bregman is he's one of those guys that is he is well worth the money even more than your average player, like on a good team. Like the things that he does really well are the things that tend to show up more come October, you know, just like the little things. Because when he first came into the league, Ted, when you and I were doing radio together, he was putting up monster numbers. He looked like he was going to be like, you know, one of those like 40 home run, 120 RBI guys. And somewhere along the way, that went out the window. So he's a good offensive player in terms of the sheer counting numbers, but not great. But he's a great defensive player. And I know it sounds like he's going to play second base up there. I'm sure he'll be excellent at that because he's an excellent third baseman. But like in the postseason, like the little things that win all those close games, like working counts, getting walks, you know what I mean? Like just mm-hmm. keeping the lineup moving, not striking out. Like all the things that you tend to notice more in October than you do like in a series with the Angels in the middle of June, that kind of thing. Like he's just masterclass at that stuff. And I think the biggest thing, and I actually was listening to you guys and I heard you guys talking about this, like the leadership aspect is through the roof with Bregman. And I'll just give you a quick anecdote about that. I'll make it quick. Hunter Brown, who is, you know, he's slowly, actually rapidly becoming the ace of the Astros staff. Through like the first month and a half last year, he was terrible. He had the worst ERA in baseball. He had an ERA of like 9. And Bregman pulled him aside on a road trip on the plane and sat with him on the plane for about 2 hours, just talking pitching, giving him some observations that he saw, giving him recommendations on things to tweak. And, you know, I don't know how close you guys followed Hunter Brown last year, but he became one of the best pitchers in baseball over the last 4 months of the season. And he attributes a lot of that to the advice that Bregman gave him. And that's just one anecdote. Like there are anecdotes all over the clubhouse in Houston of Bregman, whether you're a pitcher or a hitter, this guy is a baseball savant, and the Red Sox are going to benefit greatly from that. That's the stuff that you really need to like get in the clubhouse and talk to guys about because it mm-hmm. doesn't show up on baseballreference.com.
So it sounds to me like this guy brings the tangibles and the intangibles that any baseball team, especially one that has been out of the postseason for a couple of seasons and wants to get back there so desperately, would covet. So why do we think maybe then that he wanted to leave Houston so badly or that things wouldn't work out? Because it seems like they were willing to pay the man a pretty penny.
Yeah, well, I mean, not $40 million, though. Like, that was the first thing that jumped out at me when that contract got announced last night. Like, holy crap, $40 million. I know it's 3 years. It's not 8 years or anything like that. But $40 million a year, like, the Astros were never going there. I mean, the Astros made a decent, what turned out to be obviously a competitive offer, the way his market shaped up. They offered him 6 years and nearly $160 million. He, in the end, from what I've heard, did not want to take what, as far as average annual value goes, would be a pay cut. He made like 28 last year. So what the Astros were offering was about 26 and something. He wanted $30 million a year, from what I've heard talking to people. And that was a big sticking point with him, is that $30 million a year. Now, obviously, the Red Sox went above and beyond, and he got the opt-outs in there as well. I, by the way, I think there's zero chance he's opting out of that deal. I don't think he's getting $40 million from anybody, anywhere. I think that'll be a three-year, $120 million deal, and then he'll be back on the market in 3 years. So the opt-outs, to me, are just window dressing. But I think it came down to money, like, at the end of the day. Like, and I think the Astros had a number, and they weren't moving off that number, and they left the deal out there for a long, long time for him to take if his market didn't coalesce the way it did. But it came together, and I think he got a great deal out of this. Like, he ends up coming out of this looking really good. And I agree with you guys. I heard you talking about that. He's going to love playing at Fenway Park. He's going to absolutely love playing in Boston.
Sean Pendergast, a co-host of The Morning Show on Sports Radio 610 in Houston, is joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Sean, I'm the, I guess, the wet blanket in the room a little bit today, pointing out just, I guess, today. Questions. And yes, maybe more than today, Fitzy. Ted told us that when Bregman started his career, he went like 0 for 30 to start his career.
First 30 bats, yeah.
Then I look back at last year, he didn't hit a home run till game 26. Should we... maybe get ready for our $40 million a year player to get off to a slow start this year?
Yes, he's going to give you guys a lot of fodder for the first couple months of the year. That was one of the first things I said to Seth, my co-host today, is like, dude, I can't wait to listen in on WEEI when his OPS is like 418 in the middle of May, and see what they're, see what Teddy and the boys are saying up there on WEEI. So yeah, like, He's absolutely a notoriously slow starter, yes, to his career, and now each season, like, you can set your watch to it. I do think, like, this is the part where, if I was a Red Sox fan, I get really excited, and the numbers bear this out, but I think even over the course of a season, not that his OPS is going to be 1290 or whatever it is for a season like it is as an opposing player right now going up there, but he's tailor-made for Fenway. Like, I'm already trying to scour gambling websites to see if anybody's got a good prop on leading the league in doubles. He's just going to pepper that green monster, man. Like, so that may be the one thing where I feel like he may be playing somewhere that's a little more suited, a little more slump proof for him. But yeah, the slow start should absolutely be a concern, because it's a trend. It's not an outlier.
Yeah, Sean, I'm trying to, I feel like a big part of maybe why this deal got done, and maybe why Alex had interest in the first place in maybe the Red Sox. Not only does he, you know, light it up at the plate when he's here, but also the relationship with Alex Cora. You know, and you know, they go back to obviously their time there in Houston. Just what do you think, if any, that, you know, Alex Cora's impact will have on Alex Bregman at this point in his career?
Yeah, I think there's a familiarity. I think there's a reason why the final three teams standing for him were the Red Sox, the Tigers, and the Cubs, because there's familiarity in all those places, along with the big pile of money that all three were offering. And I think Alex Cora, similar to what A.J. Hinch would have been for him with Detroit, he's obviously his manager when he first got called up to the big leagues here in Houston and for that first World Series championship. And then he's got a couple former teammates in Chicago with Kyle Tucker and Ryan Presley, who they both got traded there in the last month or so. So I think the Alex Cora thing is absolutely huge for him. It'll definitely be provide a familiar face at the top for him. I was joking around on the show today. I'm like, I think, and they've got a pretty tight relationship too. I was joking around on the show today. I'm like, if this were like Alex Bregman, like, applying for a job, like, not like free agency, like, if this were a real job and you're applying for it and you have to put three references down, like, Alex Cora definitely would have been one of his references for the Red Sox. Like, they're pretty tight.
So, you know, now, obviously, in Boston, Sean, we're kind of fired up. We're looking at some of the moves the Sox made for the rotation, now bringing in Bregman, plus the youth movement coming up through the minors, as, you know, Red Sox could be a team to challenge for maybe the division, if not a wild card. We got playoffs on the mind. How about the Astros? How do they replace Bregman, and how do you see the Stros doing this year for competing for a spot?
Yeah, I think they're going to be all right. I think about where they've been the last couple of years, which is now they're good enough to win a bad division, but probably not good enough to be considered a favorite to get out of the American League for the World Series. But it's baseball, so if you get two guys pitching at the top of the rotation, like hammers at the top, you got a decent bullpen and you get some key hits. I think that's how people feel. They replaced him with Isak Paredes, they got him in the Kyle Tucker trade. He was an all-star last year. He's not Alex Bregman, obviously, but he's under team control for a few years, and he's good. They signed Christian Walker, who's a gold glover, to play first base, so they upgraded that position. Their outfield is in shambles right now. They're actually talking about moving Jose Altuve to left field here, which is just weird. Yeah, wow. Yeah, how about that?
Wow, that's crazy.
Look how how tiny he's going to look next to the green monster when they come up there. Like,
so true.
Look like a little look like a weeble.
So yeah. True.
Yeah. So there's like it's a little weird right now, but you got two good pitchers at the top with Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez, and they've got some other guys coming back from Tommy John, Lance McCullers maybe. So we'll see. I think to answer your question, like 80, like high 80s, low 90s wins, and probably win the division again, and then kind of see what happens. But it's been clear for a while here that the window is closing, and losing Bregman, sadly, like losing Bregman is just like we're used to losing big free agents every year. The thing is, for a few years, we would lose big free agents here and just replace them with other all-stars. Now it's like Bregman leaves, and it's like, we're trading for Paredes, but we had to trade Tucker to do that, who's an all-star. So now, boy, Chaz McCormick is really going to have to start hitting again. Like they're plugging holes in the dam right now, and still kind of keeping their head above water. But yeah, it's tricky. So hey, Ted, did you tell them the story about how you and I kept Alex Bregman from getting called up to the big leagues for like 4 days?
Oh, I forgot to tell them that story.
How do you bury the lead?
Why don't you want to remind them?
Yeah,
why don't you tell the story?
Yeah, I'll make it quick, I promise. But back when Bregman was, it was 2016, and he was at AAA, and he was tearing the cover off the ball. He was clearly getting called up pretty soon. It was in like June. And so for whatever reason, they gave him to us for an interview, me, you, Teddy, and then Rich Lord, who was our third host on there on the Triple Threat. And so they gave us Bregman for an interview. And this is back when Bregman was like super cocky and really brash. He's kind of calmed down now, which really sucks. You know, like he's married and he has a kid. He's kind of calmed down. But he was so cocky and brash back then. And so we interviewed him. And one of the very last questions I asked him, I'm like, hey, so you're getting ready to get called up. You're like a big baseball junkie. And I'm like, what, like in your dreams for like your first at bat in the big leagues, like who did you picture yourself like in your dreams batting against? And I figured he'd have a name, like, you know, like whoever, Justin Verlander, whatever, you know, something like that. And he says, I don't know, but whoever it is wearing a gray and red uniform. And they were playing the Angels later that week. That was his way of saying, they're calling me up later this week.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And so the team heard the interview, and from what I heard, got kind of angry about that with him. And they delayed. He didn't get called up till the following week against the Yankees.
That's right. They did not like him kind of being the cock daddy.
No. That's Belichickian right there.
Call,
that's a
Sean.
Bill Belichick move by the Astros right. back then.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Sean. Well, we appreciate you
best,
joining
brother.
Us. Real quick before you go, since you're the lead of the old family, I'm sort of the lead of the new family. Yeah. Any Ted Johnson do's and don'ts, any things I need to know so I avoid him diving over the table at me or anything?
No, I don't think so. Just make sure he gets his touches and just bring up Lisa Ann if he gets mad,
there
and then you're good
go.
To go.
There you go, brother.
All right, Sean. Appreciate you joining us,
awesome.
Man. Thank
see
you.
See you, bud.
Thanks, Sean.
Hey, give my best to
guys.
Amy and the kids, all right? Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, for sure.
All
for
right.
sure. Love
all
you,
right.
Teddy.
See you, buddy. Love you, man.
Okay, so that was Sean Pendergast from 610 in Houston. Good interview. I like everything he said about Bregman, except for the one fact that he's like, oh, yeah, he's going to get off to a slow start. You guys will be talking about him.
Joe Burrow gets off to slow starts, and he's like the best quarterback in the NFL, so just deal with it, for God's sake.
I don't like your comparison, because we just said they're supposed to make the playoffs, and Joe Burrow got off to a slow start and didn't make the playoffs.
And it was not Joe Burrow's fault, because his defense blew.
Yeah, there's some truth to that. WEEI Afternoons up next. We got odds and ends, which means we'll take your last few phone calls. We got a couple guys lined up, and we also may touch on a gross event last night in the NBA from Jimmy Butler, or is it misleading video footage? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch.
Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
And check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on demand content updated daily. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI. EEI Afternoons. I'm letting this breathe because I kind of like it. Stiz, quick question before we get to odds and ends. What's this? Because I like it.
Oh, this is an oldie but a goodie. Flavor in your ear. Craig Mack. This is one of, it might be canceled, but this is one of like Puffy's first big hits.
Oh, okay. So I won't look this up. Anyway, odds and ends here on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Don't waste time trying to get rid of your old car or broken car. Cars for Kids is the easiest and fastest way to donate your car and get a tax deduction. Go to carsforkids.org today. That's cars with a K. Before we get to an interesting end for Jimmy Butler, let's go to the phone lines and empty it with Tony in Bridgewater. What are your thoughts on the Bregman deal in the Red Sox?
Hey, how you guys doing? I got to tell you something. No one bangs down more on the Red Sox than me. But some of your callers that you had, they remind me of someone that would, you know, hit the lottery for $2 million and wind up wasn't $10 million. This guy, he's a gold glover. He's a gem. And if you want to look up his OBP at Fenway Park, he's third career, all-time OBP next to Ted Williams and Dave Kingman. And look up all his other stats for Fenway Park.
They're awesome.
He's the top hitter with somebody with at least 75 at-bats in their career.
All right, thanks for the call, Tony. I agree.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking Fitzy about two things, I feel like, because I'm going to get a lot of you people, like Tony, talking about 21 games at Fenway Park. I believe that's the number. 21 games at Fenway Park where he's
absolutely raked.
Yeah, absolutely. He's every category he's ranked alongside like Ted Williams or some other all-time great player at Fenway Park. Awesome. And then I feel like I'm going to be bringing up the 26 games that he didn't hit a home run to start a season and the slow start. Sean said it. Oh, he's going to get off to a slow start. Yeah. We need to start, I think, caressing the masses and preparing everyone for your $40 million second baseman is probably going to get off to a slow start. You're going to be like, when do we start to see the doubles? And
yeah,
stuff
but Sean also said, though? Do you want him to be better in March or in October?
For $40 million, I'd like to think I get all the months and I don't have to pick a couple of them. But maybe I'm getting greedy here. $40 million a year doesn't go as far as it used to in Major League Baseball. But and I'm Dan Ball.
Does it change your opinion at all that his CBT number, like his actual salary cap, is 31.7?
No, not really.
It does not?
I guess it helps the argument if I call him a $31 million player instead of a $40 million player.
I feel like it moves the goalposts a little bit,
So that allows him to take April off because we shaved the $9 million off the number? And that's
no, but
deferred.
A $30 million player and a $40 million player are two very different
players. It's a great point, though. They're deferring his money into the future. He's deferring his good play into the latter part of the season. Okay, we're all deferring around here. It's deferred baseball. I guess that's what it is. Before we get to Christian Arcand, who you can hear settling in for the crossover, we need to talk about this real quick. There's no audio. It's a visual. Jimmy Butler drove the lane. He ran into Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And when he went back to the huddle, his white shorts in the buttocks area were discolored. Yeah. Do we believe that he actually had an accident in his pants?
Why? Who's saying he did it?
You know the rule,
what
Andy?
Else would it be? You think
you can't trust a fart over the age of 30?
What?
That's right.
There's some truth to that. And as somebody with IBS, I've told you guys I rush into this station many times after the long drive. Oh. But also,
it's good to know.
Is there a possibility he sat
WTMI
on a
broadcasting
a Coke? He said, you know, somebody spilled a Coke or a Gatorade or something in a chair, and he sat on it. He also
brown Gatorade. I'm not familiar with that flavor.
Yeah, he wasn't tush chugging, if you will, as the kids like to do down south.
He also had shorts, spandex and underwear on, I'm guessing.
And still
got all the way through.
White. They're
but
white.
But my
though.
Question is,
they're white though.
If you crap your pants on national TV in a basketball game, do you just go sit on the bench or do you go right to the locker room?
I'm going right to the locker room.
Paul Pierce has the wheelchair come out.
Or that.
So that's what you did. Is that what happened?
Yeah, of course that's what happened.
I
didn't realize. Okay.
But that's a great example. He took extreme measures to get out of that situation. Jimmy Butler just went and sat on the bench.
No, Jimmy's a different guy.
He's like, he got
that dog in him.
I got 60 million reasons to just sit right here.
Also, Jimmy's like a big coffee guy, right?
Yes.
Remember in the bubble, he was like coffee. Maybe he's too much coffee, you know? Sometimes you.
There was a story.
That gets you going, right?
He's actually come out with new coffee ice cream that he and friends have been sampling. Maybe he sampled that and it didn't. Maybe he's lactose intolerant and it's coffee and maybe everything just started.
It's a bad combination.
Churning. I was listening to this with Jones and Keefe earlier. I turned into the immature little kid that I am. Mm-hmm. Remember that old baseball thing when you're sliding into third, and you feel a, and you,
yes.
you finish it.
Diarrhea. Right, yeah.
In my head, I'm driving up here doing when you're driving through the lane, and you feel a little pain. And like I started coming up with basketball versions
of that.
That's
a good one. I like that one.
Thanks to Jimmy Butler, I now have those in my brain. So we've taken the Little League Baseball.
Just put Uta Pupig's.
Uta Pupig, yes. But right see, she needed spandex because that because this would be much grosser.
Oh, the marathon run?
Yeah. If he didn't have spandex on, this could have been really gross, but that kind of contained things.
The only marathon runner whose name I recognize in the whole world.
So Christian Arkand.
Yes.
He who is always, I won't say always, sometimes on the negative side of things and yells about it.
Not today.
You love this?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're just going to ignore the numbers against lefties. We're going to ignore the numbers.
I'm not
going to
ignore any of that stuff.
Okay.
I was talking about that yesterday, and I was talking about
how killing them yesterday with those
Bregman
numbers.
And Arenado, you could make the arguments that neither one of them are great investments, and I think that this is a lesson as to why you don't wait this long and you're stuck with decisions like this. But they made the decision. They went for it. They did it. They were proactive. Eventually, it took them all winter to do it, but they did eventually get proactive. They won the stare down for the years, which I wasn't expecting that to happen, and they did it by going above and beyond with the money. And I just that of all the outcomes, I was probably one of the last ones I would think would be happening here, and it has. And I'm celebrating that. I think you have to celebrate that.
Not to steal the thunder of the Christian Arkand show, but are they a definitive playoff team?
I think they are now. Yeah,
me too.
I think they are now.
I'm in. And so does 75% of Red Sox fans.
Well, how about that?
According to my poll, that they there's a little pressure there, though.
There
that
is.
Means you can't sneak up on the playoffs.
But that means
we felt any.
And that's great for ownership, and that's great for Craig Breslow, and that's
Smoke
great for everybody
cigar.
who wanted this to happen. Is that you've got the their fans are buzzing right now.
Yeah.
Fans are excited.
It.
There's actual excitement for the season now, and there wasn't before.
And that's good for us here on WEEI, the
Definitely.
Flagship station. There is buzz around the Boston Red Sox. You'll get more of that from Christian Arkand tonight, 6 to 10. Christian Arkand show. WEEI Afternoons, Fitzy, great job. Dan Ball, good to have you back. Stiz, Ted Johnson, Andrew Razor, Ray Croft, Lou Merlone, Tom Curran, Sean Pendergast, cast of thousands here on WEEI Afternoons. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll be back from 2 to 6 tomorrow with more Bregman talk, and maybe I'll be a wet...
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.